Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I had a scheduled call with Craig, and I had to wait like 3.5 hours. It was killing me. And I was sitting there at home, in my office at home, and my wife and my daughter Grace are with me. I'm sitting there looking out the window, and I'm like, I turn around, I'm like, you know, I wasn't this nervous for Game 7 in Detroit. it was, so when they called and said I got the job, it was pretty awesome.
Bill Guerin on leaving the post of Penguins assistant GM to take the Minnesota Wild GM job right there. Who better to talk to about that more on the Penguins than Bob Grove, Penguins historian, 93.7 The Fan. Fan Hotline brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions. Bob, I have this question for you. Like, when the Penguins were winning championships back-to-back years, we'd see this, you know, pipeline from the baby Penguins to Pittsburgh that gave this team, I think, a huge shot in the arm twice. And Bill Guerin should get a lot of credit for that, I would think. And it just leaves me wondering, not only with Guerin gone, but like, who's the next guy that's going to give them that, Bob? Like, do they have somebody waiting in the wings for this season that's going to help the Penguins, if they're 40 games into the season, let's say, win a Metro or win playoff games?
Well, guys, hey, it's great to be on with you as always. And you know what? For the most part, the guys that are going to help them are already here. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's a gap there between those, the kind of guys like, you know, when you're talking about Sherry and Rust and those guys coming up and helping them. I don't think you really, if you think through it, I don't think you really have those kind of guys. You have a little bit of a gap, and then you have a bunch of other guys, you know, whether you're talking about guys they've drafted or guys they have now in the minor leagues right now at Wilkes-Barre. You know, Droz is one of them. I'm really anxious to see Casper Bjorkqvist, what he looks like. The kid has been playing college hockey. Philip Hallander. I mean, you know, they're high on some of these guys, Jordy Bellerive especially. But I don't think they're in a position, you know, right now, the Penguins, where any of those guys down there are going to come
and Bob,
up.
Bob, those are names that you
year.
Just mentioned. You got to be a hardcore fan or like Tab Douglas, who's obsessed with the minor leagues, to know those guys you just mentioned, right? I mean, they're not like household prospects.
Tab keeps great. He keeps those guys in mind all the time. I love seeing him tweet about that. So that's always good. So yeah. I mean, so they're not, you know, they're not the big, you know, because look, we all know, you know, the Penguins haven't had that many first round draft picks, right? So when you start talking about prospects, the high profile guys, they haven't had as many of them because they've been picking later or not picking at all in the first round. And you know, so that's what was so good about this year, I think, for a lot of people, is that, hey, you know, you look at, the guys they got this year, the project more as power forwards than anything, but at least they had an early pick. So, no, they're not. And the Penguins, you know, they're kind of, I'm not saying any of these guys ain't, you know, wouldn't ever get a look at sometime later this year if you had enough injuries or if they'd just been lights out at Wilkes-Barre. But when I think about that 16 team, I don't see guys with that kind of potential impact already, you know, on the doorstep.
Bob, do you think there's the guy in their front office right now? Because there's been a little bit of a brain drain. Botterill, Guerin obviously leaving, Jim Rutherford being here and doing great. Whenever Rutherford decides he's done, which might be when it's time for the Penguins to actually execute something approaching a full rebuild, is there already somebody in that front office that's poised to take over the job and oversee kind of the post-Crosby Malkin era whenever that comes to pass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I know that Jim Rutherford thinks very, very highly of Jason Karmanos, who is now his only assistant GM. And I think, you know, I would say he's the logical candidate to be there. I mean, there's been some talk about what he's going to do now in Guerin's absence. And he said, look, I'm not in any hurry to do anything. And, you know, Mike Bellucci, the coach of Wilkes-Barre Scranton that he just hired from Charlotte, can do it because, yes, he served as the GM of that club in Carolina's farm team last year when they won the Calder Cup. So he can certainly do it. You know, Derek Clancy, who's their pro scouting director, has been named. But, you know, hey, look, Rutherford doesn't sound to me like a guy who's getting close to leaving, right? I believe he's got another 3 seasons on his contract.
Yep.
So, you know, there's time to develop somebody, but if I had to put my finger on somebody right now, for me there, it would be the obvious candidate, Jason Karmanos.
Talking to Bob Grove, you can follow him on Twitter at BobGrove91 for Penguins facts and also some opinion on the Penguins, both from past and present. As we look at the Penguins a month away from training camp, Bob, I was reading Josh Yowie today, and he said, quote, "This could absolutely be the season that sees the Penguins fall out of the postseason." They're in an interesting spot because at least the people who do this for a living, the odds makers, don't look at the Penguins as a real threat right now to win the Stanley Cup. And I just gave you what Yowie said. Where are you a month away from camp on the team, Bob?
Well, I mean, it's easy to see why people around the league are looking at the Penguins after what's happened the last two playoff runs and saying Sid and Gino getting older, right? The team the last two springs, nothing to write home about. Yeah, their time has come and gone. I get it, but I'll go back to the fact that was said in 14 and 15 too. You know, before they put back to back runs together. So no, they're not among the top 3 or 4 teams that you'd mention as a favorite. And yes, you know, their division got real good this summer, didn't it? I mean, look what the Rangers did. Look what the Devils did. Boy, Ray Shearer did just a fantastic job. I mean, so there's no question that their division's going to be tougher. Even, I mean, Columbus is the only team in there that's going to take a step backwards. And so where I am is that the Penguins, look, they're not, I still don't think they're good enough defensively. I think they need, you know, they need at least another defenseman, I think. And on the offensive side, if Evgeny Malkin doesn't really, really rebound big time from the kind of season he had last year, that I'd say absolutely. They won't. I don't think they'll make the playoffs unless he does that. So I think for them to make themselves again get to the top or near the top of the list of Stanley Cup favorites, Malkin has to have a big, big rebound season. Some of these guys they brought in, like Cahoon, you know, we'll say to a little bit of a lesser degree, Galchenyuk. Well, but hey, he's in a contract year, so he should have some motivation on top of coming to a new place. McCann and Tanev. If those guys pan out anywhere near what the team thinks they're going to do, that'll be good. But, again, if Malkin doesn't make it happen on the second line, and I think if they don't improve defensively as a team, even though the issue was not only defensive but their lack of scoring in the playoffs last season, they've got to be a better defensive club. And and that's playing away from the puck, and that's everybody. It's not just the defensemen. And so they've got a lot of gaps to fill. I wouldn't say it's impossible. But I get why people around the league who are odds makers are look at them and saying, yeah, they're on the downswing.
Bob, do you think if Malkin had a better year, obviously, bounced back, was clearly more the player we're used to seeing, but they still miss the playoffs because of all those gaps that they need to fill that you just mentioned, do you think that that would be sort of a jarring enough thing for the ownership and the front office of this team, Jim Rutherford, that they would consider trying to rebuild on the fly, or are they just geared until it is obvious that it's not going to happen anymore to chase cups, no, like come hell or high water?
I think they're chasing the cup. They're chasing
for multiple years, even if they would miss the playoffs this year.
Well, I mean, Tampa had a year where they missed the playoffs, Chris.
I'll stand by what I've always said. As long as you've got 87 on your roster, I'm not rebuilding anything. As long as that guy is there, I am going to try to build a winner around him, whatever it takes. I mean, I think you owe that to yourself. You can't, you know, and he's not anywhere close to being done playing. So while he's here, and I don't ever see Malkin going, you know, I don't know that I see Malkin. I just don't sense that he'll maybe play as long as Sid will. I don't know that. It's just my sense. He might not play in the National Hockey League as long as Sid does, but as long as those two guys are there, that goes double. So no, I think they're going to go after it, you know. And look, you try your best to, you see what might happen to you down the road, but you can't just, when you've got guys like that and a guy specifically like Sidney Crosby, you just can't resign yourself to, well, our day is done.
Bob Grove, check him out on Twitter at BobGrove91. Bob, thanks so much for giving us some time. We'll talk to you more as we get closer to hockey season. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
You bet. You renew the season tickets yet?
Yeah. We moved though. Like, I loved our seats because we were in the very top row, so we had like a little ledge behind us. I didn't have to walk over anybody. But now we have combined seats with my in-laws, and so we split those.
Where?
So one section over and like two rows off the railing.
Ooh.
I liked our seats though, man.
A little pricier for
no,
the Mueller
same
family?
Price.
Same price.
And then so we're gonna get like.
When do you guys do the ticket draft? Is that coming up?
I think her dad is just gonna tell us what games they want because Alex and I will just go. My father-in-law and my brother-in-law.
You think Lennox has got some games in him this year?
Probably a couple. I think when he's a little older, because we forgot his little baby headphones the first time we took him, and he freaked out.
Too loud.
Of course they score. Kessel, of all people, Kessel scores right away and freaks him out.
Andy Hart writes about the Patriots for our sister station, WEEI, up in Boston, where I'm guessing they've been playing this Eric Clapton song on loop today.
I would hope.
Patriots play the Panthers tonight. Andy, what's up with Chung? Is he going to play in this game? Will he play another game for the Patriots or the Patriot way? Will this get him cut because he got involved in the cocaine situation in New Hampshire?
Yeah, I don't think this is going to get him cut. My guess is the team has known about this for some time. So if he were going to be cut, he'd be gone, wouldn't have made it to training camp. He was coming off an injury, so he missed early parts of camp with a red jersey. But Patrick Chung is a guy that Bill Belichick absolutely loves in terms of a football player. He's been a captain at times for this team. So, you know, you get the release from the team that they're going to let the legal situation play itself out. Certainly he is subject to a 4-game suspension by the NFL when this does play itself out. But who knows whether that's this year or next year. And quite frankly, this is a guy that, as key as he is to the back end of the defense, probably only has another year or two left in him. So wouldn't it be the ultimate Patriot way if he plays this season and then retires and never has to serve a suspension?
Yeah, pretty much, and then they find somebody that's better than him in, like, the 7th round of the draft. Yeah, that more or less sounds about right to me. Is Josh Gordon the biggest wild card on this team in terms of just feast or famine, what he could do for them, Andy?
Yeah, no question, because anyone who's watched the preseason or practices, this is a team that's searching for targets for Tom Brady. No Josh Gordon, Rob Gronkowski's retired, Julian Edelman was on NFI. Now, he'll be back, but you know, if your slot receiver is your only go-to guy and James White out of the backfield, you know, that's going to put a lot of stress on Tom Brady. So they need to find some outside targets, somebody that can get down the field, and that's Josh Gordon. It was Josh Gordon for, you know, 3/4 of a season a year ago when they were desperate in September. They trade for him. Almost immediately it felt like Brady was throwing balls up to him in double coverage, and he's catching touchdowns against the Colts and, you know, that trust level. And then, boom, Josh Gordon was Josh Gordon and suspended in December and not there for the Super Bowl run. But, yeah, I think they're going to count on him because N'Keal Harry, their first-round pick, who, you know, is sort of in the Josh Gordon mold, not as talented, not as fast, you know, he struggled early in camp, and he's been banged up quite a bit. So doesn't look like he's ready to just light the world afire in September. So, yeah, I think they're going to lean on Josh Gordon. But, you know, his track record is what it is, and that's that he's not going to play a full season. You can't rely on him over the long term. Maybe this is a different, you know, time in his life. Maybe he really has figured things out. But as long as he's here, they're going to count on him.
Andy Hart, WEEI, our sister station in Boston, used to write for Patriots.com, now covering the Patriots up there for one of our affiliate stations here. So if you're a betting man, you think Josh Gordon plays against the Steelers week one then, Andy?
I do, but I'm a little interested in the sort of vagaries of this conditional reinstatement and what exactly all the conditions might be. I thought it was really interesting that he goes on NFI to start his return here in August. And, you know, until I see him come off that, I wonder, is there any chance that rather than suspending him to open the season, there was some condition that he starts the year on NFI, which you guys know that's like PUP. It's a 6-game window, and maybe that's how they ease him back into this.
Mm-hmm.
But there were reports early on. Schefter reported that he'd be available for week one.
Great.
So, you know, if that is the case, then yeah, I think they're going to, I would bet on him being on the field and being targeted by Tom Brady, because for whatever reason, Tom Brady likes Josh Gordon. I'm sure you guys saw the social media. They had a couple throwing sessions in Brady's Brookline backyard up here. So he likes Josh Gordon. He did immediately. You know, he grew an attachment to him almost immediately. So I think if he's available by league rule and by team rule, then Tom Brady is going to be an advocate for Gordon to be on the field against the Steelers.
Something tells me it's the fact that, it, as wide receivers go, he's the closest thing he's had to Randy Moss since Randy Moss would be my guess.
He's better than Dontrell Inman.
Well, you know, we make fun of Brady for a lot of things, but he's always been quite open with one thing. He likes to win at almost all costs in whatever he does, and he knows he's no dummy. When Josh Gordon's on the field, it helps him win, especially if Rob Gronkowski's out of the mix.
Andy,
so, yeah, there's no question.
How much is Chase Winovich going to play week one against the Steelers? I'm still ticked off that the Steelers, who pick wide receivers, you know, out of the draft and do an amazing job with that, passed on Winovich in the second round, and then I had penis surgery, not to give you too many details, but I was stuck on my couch Saturday getting ready for Steelers-Chiefs, and I stumbled on Pat's Titans, and my God, Winovich looked like Lawrence Taylor. So is that like...
First of all, you already gave me too many.
I was going to say,
So
he kind of screwed up the order of that statement.
Is this another Vrabel? Like, he found another diamond in the rough here, Belichick. Is this guy going to just haunt the?
Well,
AFC
this will be different
Patriot,
in that. This will be different in that Winovich never played for the Steelers first before getting out of Pittsburgh and then becoming great in New England like Vrabel did.
Right. So it won't be quite as much salt in the wound. Although you're right, if he's beating you and you could have had him, you always look back on those guys. But, you know, it'll be interesting because he's been making all these plays with the starters not playing. Patriots really haven't played any frontline players the first 2 weeks of the preseason. There was a little cameo by Jamie Collins and Juwan Bentley. But other than that, they haven't played their high-end guys on the edge. So I do think Winovich has had a lot of success against second and third-team players because in one of those games he was even there late. So, you're supposed to make plays. When you're a mid-round pick out of Michigan and an all-conference type Big Ten player, you should be beating a lot of these backups, these guys that are going to be out of football in the next couple weeks. Now he needs to prove he can do it, and maybe he'll get an opportunity tonight to do some of that against, you know, a first offensive line, a first unit from the Panthers. So yeah, I think long-term, by late in the year, I think this is a guy that's going to be making plays. You know, when you have Bill Belichick calling a guy a high-motor guy and raving about his motor, that's a little different than, you know, draft Knicks in March saying, oh, he's a high-motor guy. We always know, you know, what that generally means. But I think long-term he's going to be a guy that contributes on this defense and on special teams. Short-term, I'm not sure he's going to be quite ready to go and do everything they ask him to do in opening night.
I got one more for you, and it's not Chase Winovich. It's another Michigan guy. Is this Patriots fans seem like they're always the first ones to say maybe Tom Brady's lost it. Are people saying that, or is there just the assumption that he's going to play till he's 66?
Yeah, nobody around here is saying he's lost it. I mean, he's looked tremendous on the training camp field. We haven't seen it on the game field. But even the one day where I think he created a little bit of a scare, second day of camp, he gets the day off. And even on that day, he's out there acting like a ball boy, bouncing around, you know, doing drills with the quarterbacks. He basically didn't take the day off because he was just bouncing all over the field with an energy of, you know, a 22-year-old, not a 42-year-old. So, yeah, there's no signs or questions in New England. They believe he's going to go on forever, except maybe the organization, because, you know, they're making him play year to year and weren't looking to give him an extension and can't franchise him next year. But the fan base, nope, they're all in on Tom Brady playing for quite a while.
All right, Andy Hart, WEEI.com. Andy, thanks for the skinny
Andy
on the Patriots. See you, man.
My pleasure, and thanks for the penis surgery reference. I really enjoyed it.
You bet. We had a plumbing...
Do you know what that felt like, by the way? Talking like almost to a relative of colonies a little bit.
We had a plumbing situation, and Matt Mertz came over today to fix it. Mm. And the plumber, Derek, said, first of all, I've loved the penis surgery talk, which was interesting. He said, you guys are cracking me up with that. And then the second thing he said was, I went over to Starkey's once to work on his plumbing.
Oh, man.
He said a spider popped out of the drain and Joe almost fainted.
Yeah, that's on brand. You know that Joe once asked me to come drive to his house to kill a spider in his car because he couldn't drive to work.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shulky Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Their all-star open house going on all month. High of 80 degrees.